What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the story of America's bloodiest prison, told by the people who lived it, both inside and outside its gates. The brutal history as you've never heard it before, from its origin as a slave plantation to its gradual growth as the bloodiest maximum security prison in America. To those outside its gates, it's known as Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola, but to those who have spent time inside its gates, it's known as Bloody Angola.
Come with us as we take you through the gates and give you a first-hand look at not only the stories of the stabbings, rapes, executions, escapes, and murders you won't find on any TV show or the internet, but also the murders, abductions, attacks, and hostage situations of the staff and their families, otherwise known by the convicts as free people.
Bloody Angola is a comprehensive, no-holds-barred podcast. It takes you on a journey through time from its inception as a slave plantation to America's largest maximum security prison, where 80% of its population will die inside the wire.
Get mentally prepared, sit back, and listen as we cover these stories in detail.
In ways that you've never heard before from people that lived it, breathed it, and died with it. Bloody Angola. Warning, Bloody Angola is a podcast covering actual events and is intended for mature audiences.
The subject matter discussed in no way reflects the personal opinions of the host or sponsors of this podcast.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
The complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And y'all, first, before we get into what is going to be a what will we call it, Woody? A fire episode?
Fire.
Yeah, before we get into this fire that we're starting today, we just want to make a quick announcement on Bloody Angola Live, which I'm sure a lot of you have seen or heard about. We sold out the first night, which is January 14th.
Stole it your way. Sold out.
Sold out real quick. So we opened up another night, as we announced, which was Friday the 13th, oddly enough.
Right. Yep. And the deal was, I guess people didn't think it was going to sell out so fast. And it sold out. Then we had an overwhelming response to do another night. So Miss Hardison and Southeastern were gracious enough to permit us to do another night. The tickets are on sale for Friday the 13th. And
going fast.
Y'all, it's a VIP. The whole thing is a VIP experience. It's only 150 seats, and we'll be in your face for the podcast. We're not going to be sitting behind a desk with a microphone. We're going to be in your face telling you a story. If you're not crying by the time you leave or in shock, then you must be dead.
You couldn't put it any better than that, Woody Everton. 100% accurate. We're going to have some special guests there, and we may or may not announce those as it gets closer. Right. We're still discussing that, but trust me, you're going to want to meet them. They're really cool folks, and some of them you probably are already aware of. Right. So just wanted to drop that
information. The, again, 18 or older because of the content, it's going to be true Bloody Angola. Also, you know, there'll be some alcohol sales and food sales and things like that. And everybody that's there, oh, we're going to have some door prizes too. I'm not going to tell you what the categories are. We don't want anybody cheating. But the you know, each person that is there, we're going to stay after the show and take photographs and sign autographs with everybody. And hey, where are you from? Take a minute with you, et cetera, so we get to meet y'all face-to-face, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, yeah, super pumped up.
VIP experience, y'all.
VIP experience, and you can get those tickets. Just go on the social media for Bloody Angola. Real Life Real Crime shares everything that Bloody Angola does, of course. Right, you can go there, and you can click on the link, and that'll bring you to the tickets. And guess what, folks? You can now purchase more than one ticket at a time.
Hey, Southeastern fixed it. Thank you, Crystal.
Thank you so much, Crystal. I know I drove you nuts on that, but hey, we're blazing new trails for colleges, I guess, when it comes to multiple ticket purchases.
Yeah, that's all right. It's love. But get them. Hey, it's Christmas time and all that good stuff. This show is going to be on January 13th, Friday the 13th. Doors open around 6. We're going to put on a hell of a show for you, and we're going to stay until everybody, we get to meet and greet with everybody.
Yes. Right?
And it's adult time, and then I promise you it's worth the price of admission.
100%.
Right? So
look
that,
for that.
That being said, we're going to get into today's episode of Bloody Angola, which is actually going to conclude season.
Can you believe season two?
Season two. And y'all are killing it. And I want to thank each and every one of you for liking and sharing. Please continue to do so and help us grow. Chase team members, we love you. Couldn't do the show without you. Y'all, if you want to be a Chase team member, go join up. You get commercial-free early releases and all the locked up bonus episodes. And it's funny, we're talking about Chase team members because the Chase team is actually the tracking team that apprehends convicts when they escape. And what do they use?
They use the dogs.
The dogs.
Bring the dogs.
Today's episode is titled Wolf Dogs.
Yes. And I know a bunch of you just perked up right there because we get messages all the time of people asking, hey, let's do an episode on the wolf dogs. And look, I'm going to tell y'all right now, my two favorite animals in the entire world are the wolf and the eagle. And the reason for that is neither one have a natural predator. They are at the top of the food chain. They are the alphas of animals, except for man. Man is a natural predator, I guess. But just very appealing animals, wolves being one of the smartest animals on the face of the earth.
What about is it a rumor or the truth that they're monogamous?
That's the truth. They are monogamous.
How they figure that out.
I guess they would have to follow one around his whole life or something and see how many people he screwed.
They got to put a tracker on his heater or something.
Yeah.
Tracker on his pecker.
Yeah, but that is an amazing fact that wolves, by nature, are monogamous. Once they mate with a alpha female, the alpha male mates with the alpha female, and we'll get into a little bit of that later, but that is it. They don't get another girlfriend or whatever.
That's crazy,
right? Wolf wife.
Wolf life.
So we're going to tell you some interesting stories, and when we dug into this, one thing that Angola is not maybe as well known for in the outside world, but very well known in the inside of prisons is their dog history in general. Right. They have one of the best kennel programs, if not the best in the country.
Well, they also have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year to work with their dogs.
That's right.
And they got the free labor.
That's a great point.
You know, if you're a convict and you're down for life or multiple life sentences and you could get to graduate, look, you start out in the field at Angola swinging a hoe, right? That probably sounds like a bad Saturday night time. So you start out in the field working with a – that sounds even worse. You start out in the field doing farming, all right, for your first 10 years or whatever. You're working your ass off in the labor. To get to work with the dogs is like one of the highest positions you can get as a trustee or a convict.
Interesting. And Angola has several breeds of dog on its property. Right. Been around since the inception of the prison. Originally, they were used for tracking, but now they use everything. They use those dogs for everything from narcotic searches to service dogs to intimidation and protection.
Well, let me give you a couple examples. The bloodhounds everybody knows about. You see it in the movies. Dogs chasing a guy and the inmates running through the convicts running through the swamp and all that. But the bloodhounds get tired as fuck really quick, and that's the truth.
Yeah.
And so they can only go so far, and then have to swap them out, et cetera. But like the Belgian Malinois, which is what the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office use, they're a multi-purpose dog. They're trained from everything from attack. They have trials. It's a big deal. The canine competition is what it's called. And if they're trained, first of all, they're trained in a foreign language. So I'm not going to even say.
So someone can't give them a command in English and get them off.
You give them the command attack in that language. And they do be screaming, "Get off, motherfucker, get off." And then they're not doing it. The meat's flying, right, until the handler calls them off. But also, if the officer goes down, I've seen this. They do this in the competitions. They have two bad guys on either side. The officer goes down, and he's out, and a bad guy approaches from the side. That dog attacks that guy. The guy can run up from the side. He turns and attacks that guy. I mean, it's very protective. Wow. Very, very smart dogs. They're used for narcotics and everything else. And then, labs are used for a multitude of reasons, mostly narcotics. So
one of the best duck hunting dogs in history.
One of the best retrievers too. Mm. But very good nose. But the most famous one now at Angola is
the wolf dog.
The wolf dog. They didn't have these when I was there. This shit blows my mind.
And they actually have competitions,
right?
As Woody just kind of made mention to, where these officers go out and these handlers and they really showcase these dogs. They do drug dog training tactic competitions, right, and stuff and all of that. So through all of this, Angola has gained a reputation. And originally, we were just going to talk about the wolf dogs, but they've got so many impressive dogs over here that when we dug into it, we're like, we just got to tell them the whole history. So how many dogs are at Angola, Woody?
I think it's over 80 right now. 80 dogs, y'all. And that's from everything from narcotics to apprehension. Let's talk about, if you're in your cell and you're having a bad day, like the working cell block in the rule book, you're on your first day and you get your high court write up and you got to do another 90 days before you go to the board, and then you got to do another 90 days automatically. So they flood their cells and they buck up, racking down and strip down. They're ready to fight. Well, shit, they bring in the Malin Wall. And they're like, we're going to open the door, motherfucker. Yeah. You're going to fight, but you're going to get this dog first, right? But over 80 dogs currently in Angola, either on active duty or used for training. And they patrol the prison's borders, search for narcotics, and search for escapees, and provide support for elderly and infirm convicts, which is a big deal because if they're doing that, whether it's a blind, you know, somebody that's gone blind or helping them get around or whatever, that's someone you don't have to pay to do it, or it's not another convict that you have to watch, pay somebody to watch, help another elderly convict.
Right. And it takes time to train these dogs. Now, you don't just get a dog in there and you get a, you know, like the old days of potty training a dog or whatever, you get a dog expensive biscuit and give it to them, and all of a sudden they can smell everything from cocaine to, you know, right, marijuana. It takes generally 6 to 8 weeks of daily sessions. Right. So that's 60 sessions in all before they can be certified just right in the narcotics aspect.
So most sheriff's office, like when the Livingston uses the Belgian Malinois, they actually get them from a breeder down in Gaydon, Louisiana, who trains them up to that certain point. Then the handler that's going to be using this dog, the officer's going to be using this dog, or deputy, has to go down there and spend several weeks training with the dog to get it to completion, and then they bring the dog home with them. They live with them.
Yeah.
And so, but in Angola, you got to have somebody who is trained in the certification of the narcotic searches, et cetera. And that's a big deal.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seen more health issues with the dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health. What she discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. And this is true for many premium brands. Fortunately, she found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Now, my dog, Phoebe, is the queen of our house, and I can tell you that her health is extremely important to us. She is a part of our family. I watched the video, y'all, and I was amazed by the things I didn't know that could impact your dog's health. This 20-minute video is packed full of tips that I've already started with my dog, Phoebe. I'm noticing more energy, healthier skin and coat. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/bloodyangola and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/bloodyangola.
And yeah, they charge like $15,000 for these dogs coming out of Gaydon, and I can only imagine the amount of money that these 80 dogs are worth in Angola.
Right, and you know, they take it very serious, yeah. And so less than half the dogs actually qualify after this training. Right. Right. You know, they just don't pass the muster.
You know why? It's if you pass one, just to fucking pass them, say you have a higher pass rate, what happens if sugar turns to shit and this dog is supposed to be a lifesaver and it's a fucking flunky?
Yeah.
Right? So they take it very serious. And that's why they cut out and weed out the ones that don't cut the mustard.
Right. And these narcotics dogs, once they get trained up and they're actually certified in narcotics, they're used during shakedowns mainly, right. And shakedowns occur when an entire dormitory is vacated and searched.
Right.
But, you know, they also can check cars on the property, people that are coming in and out of Angola.
They do it all day, every day.
All day, every day. And believe it or not, during the Angola rodeo, you'll see these dogs walking around. It ain't to show them off, is it?
No, it's not. But it also works as not only can they detect the narcotics, it serves as an actual visual deterrent to people bringing it in. Like, I was thinking about
Let me go put this weed back in the car.
I was thinking about bringing some smack up my crack to give my cousin Billy, who's doing life for whatever, right? But and then I'm like, I don't want that dog to get me. Or, you know, if you've ever been in an airport and you walk past a dog that's sitting there, you're like, holy shit, I'm glad I don't have anything on me. Not that I ever did.
But, yeah. Angola also trains dogs to be used as service dogs for veterans.
It's a big deal now.
Huge. And there's actually a program. It's called Prisoners Assisting Warrior Services Program. And the acronym for that is PAWS. And it consists of 23 inmate dog trainers and 14 dogs. These dogs train for as long as a year. They master 30 commands and 7 help tasks. They're with their trainers 24/7, and the certification rate for these dogs is around 75%.
That's truly amazing, and I think that this is one of those. I won't call it a feel good thing because my brother from another mother, Shane McBride, is a disabled veteran, if you will, and the PTSD is a very real thing, and he has two dogs, and they like. Can calm them like nothing.
Yeah,
just like that. But they could feel him, and but they're trained, right? And they can feel him when he's having those moments, and they get right on him.
It is a real thing, and the great thing about this is most of the dogs used in the service program actually came from no-kill shelters. They have one created on the grounds of Dixon Correctional Center that was formed after
grounds.
Yeah. Woody knows a lot about DCI. Yeah. And after Hurricane Katrina, one of the issues, y'all, with think about all the pets in New Orleans they had to evacuate.
They tried to. And then had to rescue, right?
Right. So they had to have a place to house these pets. They chose DCI and Dixon Correctional. Mm-hmm. They housed them there. And Angola, of course, knew about this. They got in touch with them and they said, hey, we want to take these dogs that are unclaimed, that are housed here, and rather than killing them, let's see if we can train them to be service dogs.
Right.
Great idea. PTSD, y'all, is very, very common among combat veterans.
Absolutely.
It's something that is, I can't think almost of any better program than something to serve veterans.
The guys like Shane that had the PTSD, they didn't choose to get PTSD. They were in service of our country, and fucked up shit happened.
Yeah.
And they got it. Right. So I believe no veteran should be homeless, and I believe no veteran should go without proper medical care. And my heart goes out to the ones with PTSD.
Absolutely. And the trainers now, they can spot almost immediately when they're training these PTSD dogs if the dog is confident enough to be a service dog. And I'm going to give y'all a technique that they use. And they pick this dog up. They cradle it upside down. Y'all picture this like a baby. If the dog wags its tail, it's a sign that the dog's confident and trusting. And they know, hey, we can probably train this dog. If it tucks its tail between its legs, it may be too anxious for training.
Right. That's sharp. That's super interesting.
100%. And, you know, we've all heard the term, he tucked his tail between his legs and ran.
Right.
Well, that's a big sign of a lack of confidence. And that's what it came from, dogs. Right.
That's super, super cool. And, you know, and the dogs also used for group therapy within the prison. And those trainers are also inmate trainers. Many of the inmate trainers take online veterinary certification courses in hopes that when they're released, they can assimilate into a job related to dogs in the free world.
And let's talk about that for a second before we go any further, because that's an important point. I believe it was Kelly Jennings brought this up in a previous episode, that you have to give these guys some sort of light at the end of the tunnel.
Hope.
Yeah. Because too often, people say, well, why should we pay to have these guys take veterinary certification courses? Well, if you don't give people hope, you have anarchy in there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not only in there, but most of them are going to die in Angola, over 80%, right? But if they get the fuck out and they've been down for 40 years and they don't know anything else, You know what I'm saying?
If they only know robbing
and killing, guess what they're going to do? They're going to rob and kill, and they're going to be institutionalized and swing back in. The hope part comes in. Hey, you know what? I got my veterinary assistant certificate. I know I can get a job working with animals and hopefully be a productive member of society.
That's right. Another great program that they do with those dogs and group therapy is an important thing for a lot of these guys in prison that are struggling with, I guess, the realization that they're there. So
I ain't gonna die there more likely.
Now I'm gonna give y'all an interesting little side note to these dogs in Angola. So many of the listeners may be familiar with the song Old Red by Blake Shelton. The video for the song and the star appearance in that video was a bloodhound who at Angola's real name was Duke. Okay. Duke was the bloodhound in that video, and he's since passed away, but there's a marked grave in Angola on the prison property, and it is included in the tour, and is actually where they buried Duke, who was the star of the video, Old Red, by Blake Shelton. So centered completely around him.
Love, love, love. And Chase team members, the stay tuned, because in sometime in the next month or so, we'll have pictures of all these things and put up y'all for your view and pleasure.
Absolutely. Let's talk about wolf dogs, Woody.
All right. So, you know, like you said, the wolf is an amazing animal, right? And I don't know why they call me the wolf on the street. I get
you can sniff it out.
When they said I was always down there hunting somebody, right? But how did the wolves come to get to Angola and why? Well, to understand it, it's important, I think, that you know a little bit about the wolf. So we're going to play a clip from Joe Rogan, who does a great job of breaking down what makes a wolf one of the most unique animals in existence. Here's a clip.
Fascinated by wolves. I think the wolves, to me, are probably the most interesting animal in the wild.
Canids, man. Wild dogs of all kind are unbelievable. They're so at the top of their respective food chain.
Yeah, we have a lot of coyotes around here, and basically they're little wolves, the little sneaky wolves. But real wolves, like wolves in Yellowstone and you know, wolves in the northwest area of the United States, they have got to be some of the most majestic animals.
Oh, they're fantastic.
They operate together always as these packs.
Yep.
You know, so there's some sort of weird kind of communication and
And what's amazing is, like, the social dynamic, like, within the pack, you know, the hierarchy, and then on a hunt, like, you go left, I go right, but without any verbal communication.
Right, right.
And then coming together and making a kill. I mean, it's mind-blowing stuff.
Weird, like, what will accept people dying from. Like, I was listening to this podcast where this wolf lady, she's a wolf biologist. She was talking to my friend Steve Ranella on the Meat Eater podcast, and she was talking about how we accept people getting killed by mountain lions.
Yeah.
Like it happens. It happened twice last year.
Right.
It happens. It's not really common, but it happens. But the moment that people start getting killed by wolves in America, people are going to get furious.
Really?
Yeah, because they reintroduced wolves in 1994.
Right. That's right.
These people, they reintroduced these animals in 1994, but there were already some wolves here.
Yeah.
And the wolves would have probably eventually made it down there.
It was in Yellowstone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that because the fact that they brought them in and it wasn't just a natural fixture, we have this thing like, oh, somebody ruined this. Yeah. Somebody fucked this up.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that they number them instead of name them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you name them, it's like, oh, there's Dolores. Oh, Dolores killed some sheep. We're going to have to take her out. No, right. We can't kill
Not
Dolores.
Not Dolores. But yeah, number three.
Wolf 157.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It's like inmates in prison. You just give them numbers.
Exactly.
So it's easier to kill them.
Easier to treat them like cattle.
Right.
I was going to ask you if you saw this thing going around the internet about this wolf pack being tracked. There's actually six of them. It's like a moving GIF over time. But
I have seen this. It's amazing. It shows how they never cross territories. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Six different packs, I think.
Yeah. They all establish their territory. They mark their territory. And they all respect it. Yeah.
It's like over Minnesota.
Yeah. Minnesota has a shitload of wolves, apparently. Wisconsin has a shitload of wolves, apparently. Like thousands.
Wisconsin,
yeah.
I could see that. I mean, it's a lot of, you know, woods up there and just land. Not many major cities.
I think I saw Milwaukee. A wolf once. I think I saw a wolf once. But it was
mean like in the wild?
Yeah. It was big. It was either a coyote or it was a wolf. But I think it might have been a wolf. Because it was just getting dusk, and I was in Alberta. And I saw this thing run across the road. I was like, that might have been a wolf.
Yeah.
But I've if you see a wolf, the spooky thing is, what are they doing? They're circling you? Yeah. They're checking you out?
And they're not usually alone, right?
No.
This is a lone wolf, but that's rare.
Russia's had real legitimate problems with wolves. Where in Siberia, they have these super packs.
Uh-huh.
They would get together, like, because they were starving. So they'd get, like, 100 wolves who'd form a super pack. Because they could kind of do whatever the fuck they wanted once they got that big.
Yeah.
And they started killing horses.
Yeah.
Going to horse stables. Just
a bunch of wolves take down a horse easy.
Yeah, but it's just the idea that the super packs, they realized it was too hard to just take over shit with all these pesky people and their guns and houses.
Yeah.
And so they got desperado.
We're gonna take your fucking horses now.
All right, so you may wonder what exactly a wolf dog is. Well, a wolf dog is a crossbreed typically with 50% bloodline between a full-blooded wolf and typically a German Shepherd. Because wolves and domesticated dogs share almost identical DNA chains and you can breed them successfully.
Yeah, so
I didn't know that.
Some animals, when you breed them, and Woody has a lot of breeding experience. Right. I do not. Right. But I would imagine, Woody, you can't just breed a chicken and a
that's breeding and a dog. No.
This is my rooster dog. I mean,
not gonna walk, maybe.
Yeah.
No, but I have bred and raised golden retrievers, and now we breed and raise English Springer Spaniels.
Some of the most beautiful in the world. The Wolf Dog Program, how did it come in existence, you might wonder. Well, it was started in 2002 by Warden Burl Cain. And y'all, this was strictly in response to budget cuts. Y'all know when prisons, every year, prison budgets get looked at. And the last thing us as citizens want to do is spend a bunch of money on people in jail, right?
Right.
But Warden Cain had an issue. They cut the hell out of the budget at Angola.
Two things. I got to interrupt you on this.
Sure.
First of all, Warden Cain was my old warden. Shout out Warden Cain, right? But the deal is the prison system itself, the guards, we're not going to call them guards, we're calling them correctional officers. When I was there, you never had a full fucking shift. They didn't hire enough people. The pay was for shit. Or people would call in sick or civil service employees. You can't fire them. You can't make them work. But they had an on call list, and you knew when you worked two on, two off, three on, two off, three on, two off. You knew on your days off, if you're on that call list, your ass was going to work. And it's the way it was. So, yeah, the first thing they cut is the fucking prisons. What are you going to cut? But nobody cares as long as some bitches aren't escaping and killing somebody.
The prison cuts were taking place. Warden Cain came up with a genius idea, and he did some math, and he figured out that 40 wolf dogs would cost about the same amount of money as one human guard in Angola, and they just didn't have enough money to pay enough guards to protect the prison.
Right. Well, see, it's not only the correctional officers. Not only the correctional officers are inside y'all, the bloody Angola emblem with the tower on it. Shit, those towers have to be manned 24/7, right? And so you're paying somebody the salary to sit up there, and they at the shift change, the officer in the tower lowers the key out the window to the outside door to the CO waiting downstairs, and they lock it, and they climb the stairs to the trap door, and you man a gun day or night. But look, fuck, they got 100 towers.
Yeah.
And so that's a very real deal, a very real expense.
And he had two goals here. Number one, let me tell you something. You see a wolf dog, you're intimidated. And we're going to get into what they kind of look like and all of that in a second. But they're also used as a deterrent to escape. And you can imagine why. The full-blooded wolf at the facility that was used to mate, the most intimidating. And I talked to Kelly Jennings, who was a former guest of this show, who told me that she used to go to his kennel and watch him. She described him as very dark black color with these deep green eyes. And she said he wasn't friendly at all. He would drop his head down real low and look up with his eyes when she would approach the kennel.
Got this stare. So yeah. Look, she went to watch him, y'all. She went to look at him. She didn't go watch him breathe. Yeah. Kelly's not strange.
Yeah, and she said, I used to sneak out and go over there. They didn't even know I was over there. She's like, because you know me, I love to play with dogs. And she goes over there, and she said that wolf was intimidating.
Hey, you know what? I've seen the pictures of it. It really is intimidating, and I've actually – you know, seeing them on camera in Wisconsin and stuff like that. These things are huge, dude.
Huge.
Like 150 pounds.
Yeah.
That's bigger.
And tall.
That's bigger than a deer, an average deer right here.
Yeah, they're something that these inmates look at and they're like, you know, if I can get past the razor wire, if I can get past the guns and all these things, I still got to get past these guys and I ain't getting past them. Right.
And look, they have sole purpose. Now, Hungry Like the Wolf, or was it Duran Duran?
Great song, by the way.
A great song. If you don't know it, then you're probably too young. But the imagine, you know, to escape like that, they're going to plan it. And say they're walking around those yards every day on the exercise yard, and they're looking at the towers. They're figuring out who's weak, and they see all the rows of concertina wire, the razor wire, and they're thinking, I can get that. But then the wolf is staring back at them. They're like, man, fuck that.
Yeah. I'll stay in here for the rest of my life. I'm good.
I ain't faster than him. He's like to rip my throat. Hey, I'm gonna tell you something. A wolf ain't just gonna bite you in the leg. They're gonna fucking kill.
Oh yeah, they're vicious, y'all.
Now, if y'all, that's not being cruel. If they run, the COs in the towers have permission. You're supposed to shoot to stop, and then necessarily shoot to kill. But it's the same rules for the wolf dog.
Yeah.
Get that ass.
That's right. And
or that throat.
That throat, which is probably what they're going for. And I'll tell you an interesting little side story to that. They had a prior full-blooded wolf at Angola that actually escaped prison. He actually escaped Angola. So when you say how many people have escaped, you got to put this wolf into that mix. He escaped and has never been seen again. And how he escaped is interesting. In 2008, Hurricane Gustav actually approached the prison. A tree fell across the fence of his enclosure. And then that full-blooded wolf named Shanka took off running, and they ain't never found him.
Now, listen, this might be urban legend, but I believe it's true. That's where I'm from, y'all. Is up there, east and west Louisiana. And where Angola is, as the crow flies, to the place I'm telling you about, isn't that far, probably 15 miles, whatever. My buddy swears the years later, I think it was like maybe 6 years later, they saw two of the alleged wolf dogs, like monsters, not coyotes, much bigger, running down the side of Highway 67.
Ooh.
But, I mean, obviously, he got out and bred somebody.
Yeah.
The wolf still got to eat.
The wolf's got to eat. These wolves are intimidating. Long snouts, picture long snouts, pointed ears, close-set eyes. The hybrids, as they call them, are in large kennels enclosed by cyclone fencing, and y'all, they pace back and forth. They have a cement basin for food and water and a cinder block hut for escaping the elements. Most of them, yellow eyes.
Right, and when they pace back and forth, they're usually staring at something. They're very aware. And the pace back and forth, those yellow eyes looking at you. That's why, must be why KJ likes you to go down there.
Yeah. That reminds me of a Christmas story with the guy with the yellow eyes. Yeah. So tell them about Chief.
All right. So, y'all, Chief is the most famous of all the wolf dogs in Angola. And then he was also the tallest. He was an ivory colored wolf dog and it's absolutely beautiful. And he lived with a family in a neighboring parish. Yeah, wolf dogs are smart, and Chief would escape a lot. The wolf dog escaped its home several times in a neighborhood and was aggressive, which forced neighbors to call the police. After a few occasions, the state took over the wolf dog, and a judge ordered euthanized. Warren Kane happened to see the newspaper article about this and offered Chief a life sentence at Angola Guarding the prison.
True story. And
he got sentenced to life.
But he got sentenced to life. But saved his life. That's right.
Warden Kane commuted his death sentence, sentenced him to life, garden life, not lifers, but lifers, most of them.
And let me tell you, I Googled Chief on the internet, and it is one of the most beautiful dogs. Right. It's Snow White. Yep. It's a wolf that is Snow White or hybrid, and absolutely beautiful dog.
This is not like picture a golden retriever, pretty large dog. Okay, yeah. This fucker's like twice that size, if not three times that size. It shows up in your neighborhood.
So what's life like inside the wire for a wolf dog? Well, every evening, an officer and some chosen inmates, they'll load 12 to 15 of these dogs into crates. These crates are mounted in the bed of a truck. And at each stop, the officer deposits several dogs who spend the night patrolling between these parallel perimeter fences. They start at 6:30 p.m., right when it starts getting dark, and they end at daybreak around 7:15 a.m. The only exception to this, y'all, was when Camp J was in existence in Angola. And we're going to tell the Camp J story one day. But Camp J housed prisoners in solitary confinement, and it was typically the worst convicts outside of death row.
Yeah, I mean, that's where they sent the convicts who couldn't live with other convicts. It's not what they did to get into Angola. It's what they did in there. And to get sent to Camp J, you had to rape somebody, attack an officer, or fight with weapons, or get caught for dope.
And they had four wolf dogs assigned to this area. And rather than only patrol at night, these wolf dogs patrolled 24/7 in 12-hour shifts all day and night. They just walk a perimeter. To picture the perimeter of this, of Camp J, it contained rows of razor wire, and it was not uncommon, y'all, to find alligators tangled up in the razor wire as they would try to get to the wolf dogs.
Yeah, that's crazy. I want y'all to be able to picture in your mind, because I can see it in mine. You have the camp, let's say Camp J, okay? Then you'll have a little bit of a grassy area around there. Then you have your first fence, but at the bottom of that fence is the big roll of concertina wire. Concertina wire is spun almost like a slinky, and it's stretched out, but it has razor blades attached to it every couple of inches, and it runs like that. But they don't only run one row. Generally, on the inside of a fence like that, they'll have three rows. So you have two on the bottom in case you try to get up over one, then you have the top one. You get that's been used in the military since World War I, right? You get called into one, then it causes you to get called in another razor blade, you're gonna bleed to death generally. Then you have that fence, and then there'll be X amount of maybe say 10 yards, and then there's another fence. Well, guess what's in between these two fences? More concertina wire plus more concertina wire on top. Now, I know on these runs where they put the dogs in between, they wouldn't have the concertina wire on the bottom of that part. But on the outside where the gators would come to, they still had concertina wire on top of those fences. So it's layer after layer of security, but the wolf dog is, I kind of have to think it would be such a fucking visual deterrent. Seeing the wolf dog running back and forth, looking at yellow eyes.
Oh, yeah. It would have to be. And
I'm not running from that mother.
What do they eat? People may want to wonder what you got to feed a wolf dog. And it's probably just what you think it would be. Raw
meat.
Raw meat. 4 pounds a day.
4 pounds. That's a lot. Now, I tell y'all how big these.
That's a family pack of ground beef every day.
Yeah, you could have a family of eight, and they only eat 4 pounds of meat a day. But they're large animals.
Yeah,
and they like the meat, baby.
They don't want it cooked. They want it raw, just like they like their convicts. Yeah. So many of the dogs in Angola. Now this is pretty interesting. They're not just the wolf dogs, but many of the dogs, they're loaned out to like local jails, local departments throughout Louisiana if they have high profile escapes or other high profile needs.
We've used them for everywhere. It would sometimes depend Angola because they were a little bit further away. That if we get DCI's chase team in, because they were closer. But eventually, let's say we set up a perimeter for escapees when John Priest and Gerald Bordelon being the last person to put to death at Angola in 2012 or 13, but he escaped from Livingston Parish Jail with a guy named Priest, and Priest had committed a murder on a guy enticed him in on a fake homosexual relationship and then pulled all his teeth and set the body on fire. So these are two bad dudes. It was two worse than the prison. They escaped on, I think it was a Saturday morning. And so we set up the perimeter. DCI team gets there first. Helicopters, everything else come. But ultimately, they called Angola. Because that's all they do, y'all. The ones that aren't the wolf dogs, they let convicts or trustees run out in the field every day, and they put them on the trail, and they chase them. So that's a very real deal. When you bring these dogs in, you know what's on.
Yeah, you know it's on. There's some bad shit going down now. We're going to give y'all, you know, these are such amazing animals. As I told you in the beginning, my personal favorite animal outside of the eagle. So we want to give you some facts about these wolf dogs that you may not know. I thought this would be kind of a little fun fact at the end of this episode. One of the facts is, as we discussed, one of the most intelligent animals on earth.
Super, super smart.
Think about Woody, how these, when wolf dogs attack, they attack not one-on-one. One of them comes from the left of you. One of them comes from the right of you. One of them comes from the front of you. And they actually communicate this to each other. People that study wolves, they will actually watch, and there's all kinds of signals outside of howling that wolves can give to communicate with each other. That blows my mind, because they can't figure out how they know. Right. But they know that you're going left, you're going right, and I'm going straight, and we're going to get the pounce on this elephant or whatever it is.
But it's not, right?
They also live in packs, as you know, of 6 to 8 wolves typically. They are very family-oriented animals. As we told you earlier, they're monogamous.
Right. That's crazy.
It's like being married with kids. Now, each pack, they're going to contain one alpha female and an alpha male, and they are the only ones that do the mating for that whole pack. Right. So you may ask, what happens if they have a son, and the son decides he wants to mate? Right. That looks like fun. So, right? What does he do? Because he can't mate. Well, they have to leave their pack.
Right.
And they have to go out, and they have to find an alpha female somewhere, and they start their own pack.
That's crazy.
That's how you end up with all these different packs of wolves. That's just awesome to me, man.
Yeah.
Wolves can communicate, and they can strategize, as we just said. When they hunt, they do it by sneak attack. They also communicate. Everybody knows the howl, right?
Right, right.
So they communicate that way. That's usually calling in your pack, and their posture. Just like Kelly Jennings said, when he's looking down and his eyes are pointed straight at her, that pretty much means don't come up to me.
Right. Or if this fits one here, I'd get a good run and start at your ass.
Yeah, that's right. Now, wolves can also live up to 13 years, but they typically only live 6 to 8 years in the wild. Right. Believe it or not, due to starvation.
Yeah.
They just they have to eat 4 pounds of food a day.
Yeah, that's a lot.
They don't eat their own.
And I know up north that all the farmers and stuff are really weary of them. And it's a big deal. But for the most part, they're kind of protected up there. I mean, you just can't shoot a motherfucking wolf that's on your property just to shoot them. You got to get being attacked or something, being able to prove that.
Yeah, that's right. And as they should be, they're just amazing animals that they don't grow on trees. Like their situations, alligators is a good example here in South Louisiana that you actually get paid to hunt and kill, and you buy tags. And the reason for that is if you go fishing in the Chaffalai Spillway right now, you're going to see about 6 million of them. You don't want to fall in that water.
Right. And I mean that they do that 1 month a year to help to control the population, but they also have alligator farms around here. There's no wolf farms. They have except for Angola, the half breeds. Yeah. The alligator farms here, they have to release forever. Everyone they breed in captivity, they have to release one in the wild, and you can tell those because they cut those chips off their back.
That's right.
But the wolf, the lone wolf.
Great name for it.
Right? For the one, the alpha male that he wants to go out and start his own family.
Yep.
Every dude's got to get his thing on.
That's right.
When it's time. But to be able to hunt, like they used to do the buffalo, or they do cattle now and stuff, and to be able to separate, and each one knows what they're going to do, the wolf pack.
Yeah.
Right? Each one, that's probably what they call the German submarines in World War II. They knew what they were going to do, communicate silently, and they kill.
And they're actually known, y'all, as an apex predator, meaning they are at the very top of their food chain.
Right. There's nobody trying to eat a wolf.
Nobody trying to eat a wolf. Right. Isn't that something? What an animal.
Nobody hunts the wolf.
Nobody hunts the wolf.
And no we other got animals.
We got a podcast with a wolf, and he's also an apex predator. Yeah,
right. Back in the day, for sure. Right?
That's it. So those are some pretty cool facts on wolves, and just an amazing animal. But really, the program, I hope we shed some light today, Woody, on the program that Angola has.
Yeah, with that's the, so just amazing. And Burl Cain has always been ingenious with the ideas that he comes up with. So putting these wolf dogs in the perimeter, it all serves as a visual deterrent. Also serves as, I'm going to eat your ass if you come over that wire. And it also makes for a hell of a good story.
Boy, it sure does.
Angle, right?
It sure does.
But, you know, they didn't have that, man. And I was like, fuck. And that's really, they say that, I think what you sent me, Jim, was the average salary is $32,000 a year for a correctional officer. Well, that's bullshit. They must be considering everybody's salary, including wardens all the way down to a cadet, and averaging that, because they don't get paid a lot, y'all. But they are professionals. They're trained. They have to go to an academy and all that. But to be able to replace that officer who gets sick, that officer, you got to pay him medical benefits. You got to give him time off. I mean, like vacation days, and he's going to be a civil service employee. Well, shit, to replace that, I think it's 40 dogs?
Yeah, 40 dogs for everyone.
Shit, you could just wolf, I wish you get a wolf to do rounds on a tier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And think about this. You're going to see another man with a gun, and you're going to think, well, maybe I can get the jump on him. Maybe I can outrun him. Maybe I can.
He's going to miss.
Maybe I can outfight him.
Right.
You're not thinking that about a wolf. There ain't nothing you can do to that wolf. That wolf is going to tear your ass up.
You only got like 10 yards. If you get through the razor wire, you got and you don't get shot from the tower, you got 10 yards. You ain't gonna outrun the wolf, and he's probably weighs at least 3/4 of what you weigh, and you go to the ground.
He's mean.
Kill.
Yeah, he's mean. I mean, you ain't
wolves
ain't,
don't kill other animals by biting them on the rear leg, y'all, and ripping that throat out.
Yeah, that's it.
With the windpipe. <out. laughs>
Yeah,
like that. I've been bit. I had my fingers bit off by two dogs that were fighting, and naturally they set them back on. I ain't never getting bit up by another dog. If I can hit by a wolf, fuck that. And doing it. Chase team members, love y'all. And next week we're going to try to get a new updated list of Chase team members and read it out to y'all. And I really hope you're enjoying your bonus episodes. We're going to lay down another great one next week. And y'all, I think the Chase team episodes that are locked up are the best ones that we've done.
Look, we get it. If you can't be a Chase team member, we understand it. We get it. We love you anyway.
Absolutely. No doubt. Hey, look, fuck, it's tough times, man. Jim and I are going to go to Angola, and we're going to shoot the shit out of everything. And you'll get all the stuff that we talk about, and then a lot more. And we just appreciate y'all. It helps us. You help us grow. But all of you our listeners, thank you. And please continue to like and share. And if you could,
rate us, leave
us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast. It just helps us grow, y'all.
Last week, I put in there the actual original letter that Archie Williams wrote to Barry Scheck on the, and if you listen to that episode, y'all, we have gotten such positive feedback out of that. Great. So if you haven't heard that yet, go back and listen to the Archie Williams two-part series. It was just amazing. So we do put special things in there for the Chase team.
Right. And you know, we're concluding season two.
Yes.
That blows my mind, because it seems like you and I have been podcasting together forever.
I know. I love it.
So, yeah, we want to thank everybody. Huge, huge shout out. Thank you for doing what we just asked you to do, liking and sharing, because it's huge. And now we're concluding season two, and we absolutely want to thank our sponsors, Performance Tire.
Ben Morse.
Ben Morse, great guy. Team. I get all my tires. That's not bullshit. That's the truth. I've got 8 tires from them this year. Great people. They take care of you.
Honest.
Not going to get screwed over, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to. You you know, come in and get an oil change and be like, oh, you need this and you need that, whatever. Ben and them don't do that. There's a reason that they're so successful. Go see them right here in Denham Springs.
100%. And, of course, Sandra Richard, the Sandra Richard of Dirt, Grit, Stupid Shit, Adventures in Real Estate podcast. If you hadn't heard it, go check it out. Whether you're into real estate
right,
or not.
Right. Because she is quite the character.
Yeah.
She's a love. She's also, you know, very, very active locally.
Does all kinds of community
and everything else.
Events. Yeah.
You and I have been on stage.
Oh, yeah. We threw T-shirts at the Casa Maria.
Casa Maria.
Yeah.
And but Sandra is a class act, and you can trust her, period. So, right. But let me tell you about Flourish Hormone Replacement, y'all, right here in Denham Springs. They're actually in four states. But the doctor, Miranda, super, super cool. She believes in her patients. She takes the time to get everything straight. I am a customer. I keep losing weight, y'all, and not because I'm taking weight loss shots or whatever, but because she finally got my two thyroid diseases fixed, and now I don't know what I'm gonna do, Jimmy, because I had to keep buying new clothes. But it was going through the. But they do everything. She actually takes the time, and I just had my blood work done again yesterday. But she takes the time. She monitors and she really cares. But all of those ladies over there are great. But they do a lot of things. They do have weight loss stuff. Then my wife is doing the shots, and she's down over 50 pounds.
Oh yeah,
but it's healthy stuff. It's not like the old scam stuff.
That's right.
But they do like massages and
do all kinds of things. And look, y'all, if you're curious, I didn't even plan on doing this, but we need to do this. And they have their own podcast. It's called Positively Flourishing.
That's right.
With Miranda and Cindy Overton. And we would invite y'all to go listen to that if you're female or if you're male. It doesn't matter. If you're a human being who breathes oxygen, go check that out. And listen to it.
Totally hadn't planned on mentioning it, but that's my wife, y'all, Cindy Overton and Dr. Miranda doing it. And I'll be honest with you, I listened to the first episode yesterday when I was driving back. Certainly interesting, but you know, podcasting takes all types, and I think that was more of an introductory episode. So go give them a check out and like them and share them.
Yeah, shout out.
And then listen, we got some changes coming. The things are in work. Jim's got a call today at 1 o'clock to finalize some stuff. But if you are interested in sponsoring Bloody Angola, then you can contact Mike Agovino at Mike Agovino,
AGOVINO
17 at gmail.com. He's working with Bloody Angola and Real Life Real Crime and our new show that's coming up, Real Life Real Crime Daily, which Jim Chapman and I will be co-hosting, and it's going to be fire. A couple days a week.
It is going to be, y'all are going to love it. I can't wait to tell you the format on this one. It's just amazing. Yeah. So a lot of things coming up for us. And look, it's because all of you listen.
That's it. Wouldn't have it without y'all. It's like when people come up and say, hey, are you Woody Everton? I'm like, yep. Can I take a picture with you? I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I tell them, and I mean the same thing about Bloody Angola. If you didn't listen, we wouldn't be sitting here laying out facts of everything from the Wolf Dog to Brent Miller.
Damn right.
And so concluding two seasons, it's huge. That's over 20 episodes plus the chase team episodes.
Yeah.
And I just can't believe it's gone by that fast. We've been so blessed. We thank y'all so much.
And I do want to mention, Woody, before we get out of here, that Sporting Center, located in Denham Springs, Louisiana, is sponsoring the Bloody Angola Live that we're doing at Southeastern Livingston in Walker, Louisiana, on January 13th and 14th. And just wanted to shout them out. They do all kinds of things. They do everything from monogramming. They, of course, have school uniforms. But they also do a ton of swag and promotional stuff. So if you have a business, you need T-shirts, you need hats, you need really anything done. They even got a laser engraver there that can engrave your logo into Yeti cups and all kinds of different things. They even engrave into leather. So give them a call at Sporting Center in Denham Springs, Louisiana, if you're in need of any of that. And we sure thank them for sponsoring
Bloody Angola live.
Now, I've said this since the beginning. Bloody Angola will always be different. You've got a couple of feel-good stories recently with Billy Cannon and Archie's. And you know what?
Historic stuff.
The Wolf Dog, yeah. The Wolf Dog is a story that needs to be told. But you know what? We're going to have some real bad MFers coming up.
Yes.
But we're not making it up.
That's right.
It's Bloody Angola.
Thank you very much. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
The complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
Peace.
Dead Monday. Oh,
save big money on plant protection supplies now at Menards. Defend your garden with Triazicide Insect Killer. Its fast-acting formula protects lawns, vegetables, and many other plants. It kills more than 260 insects by contact, above and below ground. Choose from ready-to-spray, concentrate, or granular. Save big money on Triazicide Insect Killer at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.